There is a vacant housing crisis in Cleveland Heights that needs to be addressed, and it is in direct relation to investing in Cleveland real estate. We can't ignore these hundreds of vacant homes, so we are creating Project RATH, R-A-T-H, Residents Against Terrible Housing, a project aimed at tackling this issue and taking it a step further. Find out more about this project in our first podcast episode, where we discuss it and explain it in more detail.
Investing in real estate can be full of pitfalls. Don't end up as another horror story on Mike Riley's Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast. Hi, I'm Mike Ferrante with Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, serving buyers and sellers all over the state of Ohio. We specialize in helping investors buy and sell real estate. So before you make another move, go to 21mike.com to schedule an appointment. The 21 Mike team, your one-stop shop for buying and selling.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley with my partner in real estate, kind of, Mike Ferrante. Mike, good afternoon.
Hello, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, it's we're in the salad days of the summer. Kids ready to go back to school. Absolutely picture-perfect day here in Cleveland. Sunny skies, about 75, low humidity. The nights have been in the upper 50s, 60s, just absolutely picture perfect. So how is it out in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, so we get to listen to the crickets and the tree frogs when we open the windows, and it's a very nice sleeping weather, yes.
Yeah. So everybody, you know what? You're missing out if you haven't considered Cleveland as being a place to live and work. A lot of great houses at affordable prices, and the weather, I would say the weather for, what would you say, 7 months, 7 to 8 months, okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and especially fall. I think fall is one of the most beautiful times to come to Northeast Ohio.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the potential of having a white Christmas, hopefully not a polar vortex. But all right. Anyways, I want to start off by talking about an initiative that I alluded to in a couple podcasts ago, but this time we're going to include some pictures, and it's going to be on our YouTube channel. Even though you can't see Mike and me, you're going to start seeing some pictures popping up. And Mike, this is the initiative I've talked to you about called Project RATH, R-A-T-H, Residents Against Terrible Housing. And this is modeled after Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And we're creating this RAP project, which will focus in on Cleveland Heights and parts of East Cleveland, the Forest Hill section of East Cleveland. And the reason why we're creating this is because in both cases, the cities have not really made vacant or bad housing a priority, unlike other communities. So in Cleveland Heights, we probably have about 500 vacant houses, or bad houses, or houses that are, they're not paying their property taxes, they're overgrown, a real eyesore on the street. And as you get in some areas of Cleveland Heights, you may have on a street that maybe has 40 homes, you may have 10, 5 to 10 that are bad. That's an incredible ratio. As you get into areas that are doing very well in Cleveland Heights, that would be the Fairmont Taylor area, the Cedar Fairmont area. Those kinds of houses are non-existent. So wherever you have these bad houses, and when they are in high numbers, it's going to impact property values, and it's also going to impact retail. Now, speaking from the realtor side, Mike, I mean, isn't it a dirty little secret that in Cleveland Heights, it's called North of Mayfield. It's almost like this word of mouth redlining.
And just to be clear, it's not real estate agents doing that. It's our clients. We have clients who say, well, I'm shopping in this area or that area, but I don't want to be in this part of town or that part of town, or I want to be north of this street, south of that street. And exactly what you said is true, Mike. I've had clients tell me, I want to be south of Mayfield. And I say, okay.
Yeah. We're talking the Roxborough area, the Royal Heights, which is Kingston, Queenston areas. Ironically, Kensington and Meadowbrook, that Meadowbrook Lee area, that's become kind of a hipster area, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then you cross over into other parts of Cleveland Heights, and you have a high percentage of vacant houses. Now, you've heard me talk about this for years, but what's your general sense when you drive around the neighborhood and you see these same houses that have been just sitting there for years, overgrown, empty? I mean, what goes through your head on this?
Well, being the capitalist that I am, my first thought is always, hey, there's a money-making opportunity. But then, of course, my second thought is, I say, thank God that's not next to my house. I live in Twinsburg in a great neighborhood called Ethan's Green, and you drive through Ethan's Green, good luck finding one vacant zombie house, as you call them.
Right. Well, you have an HOA, don't you?
We do, yeah. Well, and we have an HOA that actually does something. I don't want to get you
Right.
started, but there are
Oh,
HOAs
don't like
that don't
that
do
math,
much.
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried to reform our non-existent HOA in Forest Hill, and it was just a nightmare on my part. I have been talking to a number of people, Cindy on Maple Road, and Tanya on Grayton, and you'll probably be hearing these people in subsequent podcasts, but they all say the same thing. And so this podcast is as much directed to them as it is to our large and growing audience around the world on Cleveland Real Estate Investor. But they throw up their hands. They say, well, there's nothing I don't know. I don't know why the city doesn't do it. I mean, they're thinking from a capitalist viewpoint, like there are people looking for housing, right? There's realtors looking for listings. Why is this house sitting there? Sitting there, I'm talking for years, not paying taxes. Now, there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is everybody's pointing the finger at somebody else. The city's pointing the finger at the county is pointing the finger at the city, and the residents are pointing their finger at the city. Nobody is pointing their finger at the house itself. And this is where the money making opportunity comes in. Because you were just telling me, I mean, you guys are hot for listings, right?
Yeah, we're one of the top listing teams in the area, and even we're down about 25% right now. And so between buyers who are starving for inventory for homes to buy and agents who don't have listing inventory, it's a huge problem. Mike, you've probably heard me say this stat before, but right now there are more real estate agents in this country than there are homes for sale. It's not even close. It's like 1.5 times the number of real estate agents to homes for sale.
Sounds like lawyers a few years
Yeah.
ago. I mean, they were churning out so many lawyers in law school, and these people couldn't find a job. But no, getting back to the vacant houses. All right, now look, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but Melanie, who's putting this together, she's one of our producers, is going to start throwing up some pictures of some houses. So you're going to start seeing some of these vacant houses as I talk. And first off, let's go to a house in my neighborhood on Hereford, 1315 Hereford. Now, here you see a picture of what the house looked like 4 years ago. And this house was like that for 10 years. Now, what happened is, and this happens a lot in this business, you have somebody who wants to get into real estate. Now, how many of our thousands of loyal listeners, they want to get into real estate. Real estate is a mark of success if you can start investing in real estate and make it work. They want to go into real estate. Well, this guy bought 1315 Hereford about 10 years ago, and he started working on it with his brother, and he stopped working on it. All of a sudden, he stopped working on it. And you can see from the picture that the front of the house, or the side of the front, is unfinished with the siding they were going to put up. There's overgrown, there's sandbags in the front, construction materials all piled up. Now take a look at the back of this house. And the back of the house is, I mean, it's a nightmare. Now, this guy was current on his taxes, but the house was in that condition for 10 years. 10 years like this. And the city wasn't doing anything about it. The homeowners association, FHHO, wasn't doing anything about it except dropping off a note saying, please clean up your act here. Until finally, I took it upon myself to, along with a friend of mine, neighbor, we took it to court, Cleveland Heights Housing Court, on a nuisance abatement. And a customer of mine, who's a judge, recommended this to me. He said, you know, you should simply just file a nuisance abatement suit. Well, we located where the guy was. We sent him a notice that we're going to court, we're suing you. And we took it to court, and we won the judgment. And that's another story how we won the judgment. But we won the judgment of roughly $5,000, and then we began foreclosure on the house. And foreclosure forced it to market. And then a company called Yosemite, whose business offices are across the street from our building, they ironically bought the house. And within 6 months, this house had been completely updated. And then 2 years ago, it sold for over $200,000. And all of a sudden, we took one house that was the worst house on the street, and we made it into one of the best. And then soon after, we got the house next to it, which was vacant. Our company bought another house across the street, which was vacant, and all of a sudden, three houses were fixed up. Now, what RAF does is it builds a process of a nuisance abatement on a house. So if you live next to one of these bad houses, Mike, and you're looking at it, you're going out to have a cup of coffee in your backyard, and this is staring you in the face every time you come out there, you would get a flyer from us, or you'd see our sign, and all of a sudden we'd say, hey, look, why don't you be part of this lawsuit, this nuisance abatement? And you would go to court with us, our lawyer, and other neighbors. We'd march in there almost like we've got pitchforks and torches to the housing court, and we would get a judgment anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, which would then either wake up the owner or begin foreclosure. And now, Mike, you may have a listing. Your turn, your thoughts, your comments.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I think it's a great source of business, first of all, but also it's taking up the mantle where it seems like no one else has any leverage, or at least they don't feel like they have leverage to get anything done. So, you know, we've been talking about various cities for years with all of the vacant homes, and what do you do about it? I think that, you know, getting together is the key. One person can't make a difference, but when a group of people do, and for real estate agents, it's the same thing. You know, we should be prospecting. We should be actively prospecting. Most agents don't actively do it, where they're out there trying to turn over those rocks to break this housing free. Imagine, Mike, imagine if suddenly 500 homes all hit the market at one time in Cleveland Heights. First of all, that would be too many, you know, but what if it was 10 a month or even two a month? It would start making a difference, I think.
Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, and we'll be back. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house. and it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock-solid part of town. It comes with a Gold Star tenant paying top dollar rent, and we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
Well, I think first of all, everybody who's listening, who lives in these neighborhoods, and we're going to actually send a link here. So, okay, let me speak to you. This works. This isn't some theoretical. I've done that 3 times. Now, what I'm realizing is with the mayor in Cleveland Heights, who's now into its starting his third year soon, they're not doing anything. I thought maybe they would, you know, change the dynamic, put some money into housing, create a SWAT team that would focus on these vacant houses. Mike, we're talking 500 homes. And if you have the average property tax is $4,000 in Cleveland Heights, that's $2 million a year that's being lost in revenue.
Yeah, You could hire someone to head that up and still be in the black. You could add one or two salaries and still be far in the black.
You would be making money off this. If you're getting $5,000 to $10,000 a suit and you can set up an inventory, you probably get right off the bat within 6 months, you'd get 100 victories at 10 grand. And what's that? What's 100 times 10? Anybody want to do the math here? Isn't that $1 million? Come on, Mike. Grab your calculator here.
Wait a minute. 100 times 10 is 1,000.
No, 100 times $10,000.
Oh, 100 times 10,000. Yeah, that's $1 million.
That's $1 million. There's a lot of people you can hire. You already got a law office in the city. You've got, and you know, the other thing is I've talked to people in the building department, the housing department, some of these inspectors, I'm not going to name their names, but their morale is way down because they're going out to neighborhoods and they are leaving a notice or sending a notice to a resident who's taken good care of their house, and they'll get cited for an uneven sidewalk or a crack in the sidewalk, or a seal coat the driveway. Those are the people that are living next to these vacant houses where raccoons and rats are living. Can you imagine the reaction of that?
Yeah, and the problem is, you talk to the inspector and they say, oh, well, we're not here to talk about that. You know, we're talking about you. They're very... They're standoffish about that. They just say, look, that's none of our business today. We're talking about your house.
Exactly. Well, I've talked to some of these inspectors, and I have to say, really, really great group of people there, overwhelmed with these Mickey Mouse bureaucratic things, and basically been told by their superiors. I'm not talking about the head of housing, but maybe the mayor or some of his people, that let's not air our dirty laundry out here and get involved. But I know they're frustrated because a lot of these people are going to housing court, and that's a revolving door. And that's, again, getting back to my example of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. MAD was created because there was a revolving door for these drunk drivers. They were just getting sent probation, go to counseling. Nobody's taking away their driver's license. Nobody's throwing them in jail. Nobody's fining them $10,000. Now imagine everybody who may want to get involved working with me. Imagine if you got involved on one or two houses in your neighborhood that you're looking at every day. Imagine if you got involved. All you got to do is go to court with our lawyer and pound on the, and just be a witness to the inaction and be a part of the solution. And if we get a half a dozen or a dozen victories like this, they're publicized, they're on our YouTube channel, where you'll have a website to go, you can follow along, how is this vacant house doing? You can donate, you can help us get signage, pay for the lawyer, etc. But if we can get a dozen victories, that is going to tell, show the city how it's done. And maybe they can pick up the baton and run with it. But if they don't, they don't want to do that. We have now have in place a process that can empower those neighborhoods that basically have been abandoned, you know, by the city. Thoughts, Mike?
Well, you know, one of the things that, came to mind, Mike, as you were talking about it, is I'm curious as to whether or not you feel like the city appreciates this effort. And when you said that you thought they'd put together a task force or something, like, do you think that the city, like Cleveland Heights, for example, if you really got this up and running, do you think they would embrace it and maybe even from behind the scenes support you in the venture?
First of all, they can't get in the way. They can't block it because it's going to court.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know our current judge, J.J. Costello, has said to me, a couple years ago, he said, hey, you get the neighborhoods involved, I'll back you 100%. But they're not going to say no. They're not. I mean, you bring these cases to court. Here's a house that's rat infested for 10 years and people are complaining. You're going to walk out of there in 5 minutes with the judgment. There's no question about that. I think there is what I'm realizing, there's something about Cleveland Heights versus Lakewood. I don't know what it is in the water, but there is way too much discussion. I mean, they will spend 6 months to a year proposing a charter amendment, proposing this, anything but one thing to get these houses done. And it's study, talk, and then every 4 years you're getting a flyer from some candidate. Well, our current mayor, he had front and center just pull out his flyer. He said, we've got to clean up the housing. It's like thoughts and prayers for gun control. Everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. And so, you know, nonprofits in Cleveland Heights, I don't know what they're doing. Well, they're not doing anything. And I think this kind of my attitude, maybe my outspokenness about it, maybe a little bit too much of a fingernails on a chalkboard, Mike, or bull in the china shop. But it's basically, you almost feel like you're talking to Trump voters. The guy's guilty. Okay. Why are you voting for him? Or talking to people in the city of Cleveland Heights. Folks, we got the number one problem is housing in Cleveland Heights. That's the number one problem. And if you take care of housing, you're going to take care of retail. You're going to fill the coffers with more money because you're going to start collecting property taxes. But I don't know what it is in Cleveland Heights that maybe you got too many smart people who are too busy studying and talking about the problem instead of doing anything about it. Project Wrath is action. It's not a t-shirt. It's not another meeting. It's not let's go to city council where you go there, you complain, they pat you on the head, and they say thank you for your passion. All right? No, this is, look it, we're going to court. We're going to court. And if we find out that the county has been AWOL because they're piling up property taxes year after year after year, which now makes it, you know, unbuyable because of the tax base, then we're going to start shining a light on that. Final thoughts, Mike.
Yeah. So two things. The phrase analysis paralysis came to mind when you were talking about the meetings and the, you know, talk about it and, you know, stroking. And I think that's one of the things that gets you know, people bogged down in making decisions. You can't have complete information all the time. And then the other thing is, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more about the housing and real estate. Real estate is one of those things that leads the economy. So goes the real estate market, so goes the economy. And it can really, you can really make some headway. You know, you start talking about these 500 houses. And like I said, what if just two or three of those houses could be brought to market each month? What a difference it would make.
Well, and then what you're doing is publicizing it, you know, on our website, projectrath.com website, you know, YouTube channels, it's going to start growing. People are actually going to see that this is doable, which is going to beg
nothing
the
else. Yeah, maybe the owner does something. You know, maybe it's that fire that the owner of the property who's been sitting on it for 10 years needs to get them motivated to fix it up, sell it, or make it a rental. Because, you know, we don't talk about it much, Mike, but the inventory of rentals is very low too. Talk to anyone who's trying to rent a single family home right now. They're dying. They're paying so much. It's just like sales. Rents have gone up astronomically. You know, you used to be able to get a rental in Cleveland Heights for $900,000. Good luck. It's $1,500 now. So we need more rentals as well.
Yeah. There's and you think about the, when I think about the vacant housing problem, I think about the fact that we had all these people a year or two ago who were young people who would love to live in Cleveland Heights, who are fighting over living on Kingston, Queenston, or Quarrydon, Coleridge, or Scarborough. I mean, if you treated some areas of Cleveland Heights like homesteading, where you gave them a low interest loan, or you gave them this, or you got them in the house as an owner occupied on one of these vacant houses where they can put some sweat equity in. But they would jump. That is what is so frustrating. We had a seller's market a year ago, and yet we had all this inventory that just sat there. And it's almost like you had people were dying to buy water, and you had all the water in the back of the warehouse. That's what the housing inventory is. You get 500 houses that have been sitting there for years. Ask yourself why in God's name they didn't make it to market. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so, you know, that's the frustrating thing. I think another thing that is lacking, when I sat in some of these, you know, subcommittee meetings and council, I mean, they're doing everything but talk about vacant housing. They're talking about guidance for the renters. They're talking about landlord rental. They're talking about register vote for these rent. I mean, they're talking about, oh, we need to count the number of Airbnbs going on, or we need to study everything but the vacant houses. Now, I'm not saying these things aren't good and worth pursuing, but those are number 6, 7, or 8 on the top 10. The number one is housing. And if every week you're meeting, or every month you're meeting, and have not accomplished one thing on vacant houses except more discussions, the study, then guess what? You are part of the problem, not the solution. Okay?
Yeah.
You are part of the problem. And, you know, my final thought is, besides the, you know, there's a lot of reasons why these houses are vacant. Half of them are vacant because you've got these amateur LLCs coming in. I mean, we just had that house on Forest Hill Boulevard near Chelsea that just was on auction, went for $162.
Yep.
That is the fourth time that house has gone to auction in 10 years. Did you know that, Mike?
I did not.
That's the fourth time. Now, what's going to happen is you got some idiot who overpaid at $162. I mean, this house in a functioning market would probably be worth $80,000, because you'd have a real investor come in who knows he'll buy it for $80,000. He's got to put $120,000 in, and then, you know, if he's lucky, he'll be able to sell it for $250,000. Right? No,
right.
These guys are buying it for $162,000. Everybody rolling out their pencils. They're buying it for $162,000. They have over $100,000 in repairs to do. And this is retail. They have $100,000 they're going to have to spend to get this functioning. And they'd be lucky to get $250,000. or 240 for the house. It's already set up for failure. So here's the problem with the LLCs coming in with hard money loans. They're going to buy it. They're going to start working on it with no supervision, with no, you know, cop on the beat from the city. And it's going to sit there for another couple years. And then the bank's going to realize, oh, I guess we're going to have to write out this loan because these people are going to walk away. They're going to walk away from what they did, what they bought. And now it's going to sit again. That's why houses sit for 10 years. So part of Project Wrath is we're A, going to go after these houses, force them to market. And then we're going to tell these people, if you don't get this cleaned up in a month or 2 months on the outside, we're going to sue you. Okay. So it's time to get serious about housing, Mike.
Yeah, oh, I love it, Mike. You know, this is something we've been talking about for a long time, and I love to see the wheels start to move.
Yeah, so all you foot soldiers, potential captains for some of the streets, you're going to be getting this. I want everybody who's listening to start. We're going to spend a lot of time on this. We're going to talk about it. Our YouTube's getting cranked up. But I want you captains and foot soldiers, this A is doable, and B, no talk, more action. We'll end on that note. Mike, thanks for your time.
Sounds good. See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast with Mike Riley. Please add our show or follow us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. Leave a like or comment on the video. All engagement is appreciated. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well for video content coming soon. For any Cleveland listeners or Cleveland Browns fans, you can check out our other podcast, Cleveland Browns Anonymous, for our weekly group therapy session. This is also on all the same platforms as the Cleveland Real Estate Investor.